doing this morning? This is Glenn Coble. We have a unusual guest this morning. We have James Anderson, who is the naturalist, and we usually have him the fourth
or the last
or the last Thursday of every. I make a mess of that. So anyway, it happens to be Thanksgiving this month, so we asked him to come in a couple weeks early. So
yeah,
thanks, James, for you know, stepping up.
Yes, thanks for having me.
And one of the big topics we're going to talk about today is Turkey Day.
That's right.
And turkeys. But one of the questions I was going to ask you last night when my doggie and I were sitting there and I was trying to think of questions. One of the questions I was going to ask you is, when there is a snow cover, do you have people that come out and try to track animals by their paw prints or anything like that?
I do that.
Yeah. Oh, do you?
Oh, yeah. I do a lot of programs.
Oh.
Especially during the winter season. That's one of my top programs I do. Because wildlife tracking is really easier to see in snow and mud.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. It would be very difficult right now, I would think. Because, you got a little water, so you might have the mud. But
when I tell people about wildlife tracks, it's just more than just hoof prints and paw prints. It can be from fur, feathers, blood, and then, of course, the scat.
Yeah.
So it's tracks coming all different shapes, sizes, and forms.
You taught me what scat was. I had no idea until you told me what it was. What's scat?
It's just poo-poo. Yep, the scientific name for animal poop. Yep.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. So do you take people out and track with people, or is it just yourself?
Well, I mean, when I offer it for the general public, I bring whoever wants to come along. But then if nobody comes along or just during my free time, I kind of will see who's been around. Mm-hmm. So some of the wildlife tracks I'll see from opossum, deer, raccoons, skunks, squirrels, chipmunks, things like that.
Now, does a dog print look completely different from a coyote print?
So that can be really hard to determine because, of course, you have all your different size of dog prints. I mean, obviously, you know, like a little chihuahua, toy breeder is going to make like a miniature one. But then like a German Shepherd, they're about roughly the same size. So.
Right.
That can be very hard to determine.
I would think a German Shepherd, a domestic German Shepherd, not one that's been out in the wild, but it would be a little heavier than a coyote, wouldn't it?
It would just depend on if, you know, what kind of food source it can get available. Yeah. But overall, yes, it would be generally heavier than a coyote.
So it might be a little slightly deeper trip. Print or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And the problem with snow,
I think I'm Tonto now.
the problem with snow and mud, you know, when your animal pressed down on it, well, guess what naturally happens? It expands.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Then it increases the size a little bit. So when I'm telling people, when you're measuring, sometimes you got to subtract a little bit.
Yeah.
Because if not, then that can kind of, you know, throw you off of what you're looking at.
Well, I was involved and I'm very proud to say I was involved in Ohio University developing the paw print. And they got away from it for a long time, but it's coming back. There are people that still love the green paw print.
Yeah.
And Matt's dad, Bob Basudin, was the artist that designed that.
Okay.
And the way he designed it is kind of interesting because it doesn't look like a bobcat paw print. Because a bobcat walks on his toes, as many animals do, and so therefore you don't see the whole paw print. So what he did is he imaginarily, if that's a word, pushed the paw down and made it look like a full paw print.
Okay.
And that's what the paw print comes from that you see on Ohio University paraphernalia. And it is it was taken from a bobcat, it was kind of a he took some artistic license with by pushing it down imaginarily. So I do have a little background in prints, but that's about it. I did have a bobcat stand on my shoulder once, which I guess is illegal anymore. Dick Wittes was the gentleman. His wife was very involved in the Columbus Zoo.
Okay.
And so she had gotten permission to take the bobcat or to bring in a bobcat.
Yeah.
And the bobcat lived with them in right on the old Tangi River.
All right.
You know, that real ritzy area.
Yeah.
And they had it all high fenced in and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so that was the original bobcat that we brought to games. And then one day it just tore the shred out of Dick's leather jacket. Ooh. And that was the last time he brought that, because the bobcat did not like screaming fans for some reason.
I bet it didn't.
and then it was deemed against the law, so we couldn't do that anymore. Yeah. And then they turned him over to the Columbus Zoo, and it lived happily ever after until it got too old.
Because probably by then, they were probably endangered.
Yeah, probably were. Yeah, that would have been around 85.
Yeah, yeah, so they would have been endangered at the time.
Yeah.
So. But luckily in 2015, they were taken off the state and the threatened list.
Is that right?
Yes. Good. So legally as of right now, no, we cannot hunt and trap bobcats.
Right.
And it has been proposed, but that proposal has failed. But if it comes up again, then probably in selected counties like Athens, Fenton, Meigs, mm-hmm. Jackson County, they would probably be legally allowed to harvest. Now here in Marion, you know, we don't really have a bobcat population.
Yeah. Well, now, rarely did you ever hear a bobcat down in Athens. You were down there. Did you ever hear one live?
No, not there. But no. In Kentucky, where I did my first internship, it was in Carlisle, which is in between Maysville and Lexington.
I know where Lexington is. Yeah. I don't know the other
one. Yeah, it just kind of sits right in the middle. But anyhow, my very first night, I heard this loud screeching sound, almost sound like a woman. I woke up. I was scared to death. I couldn't go back to sleep. And then the next morning, the maintenance man from the campground, he said, "Oh, did you sleep well?" I said, "No, not really. I heard this really awful screaming sound. I didn't know what it was." "Oh, that's just our local bobcats." Yeah, we have them all over here.
Oh, my.
So, yeah, in Kentucky, they're very abundant.
Well, we have a caller. Let's go to the phone and see what the caller has to say. Caller, you're on the air. Hi.
Well, good morning there, Glenn and James.
Good morning.
Good
morning.
Well, having grown up in Hocking County and
I know,
an awful lot of mushroom hunting and squirrel hunting and turkey hunting and blah, blah, blah in the 50s and 60s and, you know, into even the early 70s before I moved up to this part of the world, I never once saw a bobcat.
No. Uh-uh. Now, to our listeners, this is Fred Malone, who will be on next week from the Marion Historical Society. But so you never heard one either, huh?
No, not to my knowledge. I can't remember ever hearing one. Of course, you know, going to school in Athens County at Ohio University and being out and about in that area, too, I never heard one there. And I also did a lot of tramping around in the Wayne National Forest over in the adjacent county in MacArthur, you know, in Benton County, in that area.
That's James.
And I just don't remember seeing them then, but I think they were pretty well extinct in our area back then, weren't they, James?
Yeah. It wasn't really until about the 90s when they start researching the bobcat population in the state of Ohio. And then wasn't really until about the mid-2000s they really start increasing. And then, as we mentioned earlier, by 2015, they were taken off the state endangered species list. So they're a great poster child of an animal that we once was abundant, we lost, but it's come back to Ohio. Bears is another great example. But their numbers is slowly increasing.
Yeah. They got to learn how to swim across the Ohio River.
Now they were prevalent in Pennsylvania, weren't they, the bobcats?
Yeah.
But, I didn't know that.
But most of them, they believe, came from West Virginia. Now the black bears, they're coming from Pennsylvania. Ashtabula County.
This is crazy, but I do remember seeing a black bear back in probably the early 60s.
Yeah, I've told the story about driving by one and wondering what that big woolly black butt was, and turning around, and there was a black bear right down there. You know where the bypass now starts down there? Exactly where I saw it, and I couldn't believe it. I went and told my wife, and she told me I was an idiot, and then I did some research and found out, yes, there are black bear. There were a couple that were living down there.
Well, I'll tell you where I saw mine. I can remember it pretty vividly. Before they put in the bypass, of course, this has been back in the 60s, you went on 33, you went through a little town called Diamond.
Oh, yeah.
They used to make bricks there.
Yes.
Nelsonville brick were made there.
Very famous, yeah.
And there was a pull-off there that the state had put in for one of the locks that was still in existence.
Uh-huh.
In fact, I think it's still there, actually. But I was screwing around there on the lock, looking it all over, and actually saw a black bear on the other side of where the old canal used to be.
Yeah, and you shouldn't be afraid of them either. They're not terribly aggressive. I wouldn't go over and pat it on the head.
But fight with it or anything
yeah,
like that.
No, just get away quietly.
Interestingly enough, my wife and I and another couple spent 3 days over at Salt Fork State Lodge in Cambridge last week, or just outside of Cambridge.
Okay.
And did quite a bit of hiking. It was actually beautiful, either Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and it was absolutely beautiful. The weather was great, great for hiking. And I have to report that I did not see a single Bigfoot.
No, you didn't?
None. Oh, my. I'm sure they're there.
I did buy a Bigfoot sweatshirt.
Well, James and I are going to have a whole show on Bigfoot.
Yeah, you will. Hey, just want to remind everybody, again, as you mentioned, I'll be there next Thursday, and we're going to be talking about presidential election history.
Excellent, excellent.
Yeah, for at least maybe the first 40 presidents. I don't think I'm going to touch the latter ones because most people, you know, that listen were around for those.
Yeah.
We'll talk about the early ones.
Okay, excellent.
Right, see you next Thursday.
Good hearing from you. Yeah, we'll talk again Thursday. Take care. Bye bye.
Take care.
Fred Malone, he's a great helper here. He does a great show, too. I have you and Fred, and you're my two favorite.
Awesome. That's good.
Well, and I also have Dr. Feynman.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And Dr. Feynman, he gets me in trouble, though. You guys don't seem to do that. So, anyway, we're getting close to our break, but. We were talking about the paw prints and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. What would you think is the most unusual paw print you see?
Probably an opossum.
What now, does it look like?
The back feet is like our hands. They actually have an opposable thumb.
On really?
Yeah, and you'll notice, too, when they walk, it kind of in an angle. So it's not like straight like what you and I would walk, but yeah, you'll notice it almost looks like a monkey kind of handprint, but yeah, it's an opossum, and then right behind that you'll see that this long line like
which
if
is the tail,
yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, that's kind of interesting. They're kind of an ugly critter, but I feel some sort of warmth in my heart for opossum. They're
great
really
to have a hat. To have around.
Yeah, they're not aggressive, and they're not mean, and their teeth will scare you, though. They have really big teeth.
They do, and they have actually the most teeth out of any North American mammal.
You're kidding.
How many teeth do you think? Just give me a...
38.
That's more. It's 50.
Oh, my.
So, yeah. versus people, most people's 32.
Yeah.
And unless you go down south, that's a different story. But anyhow.
Okay, you're going to get me in trouble with Dr. Feynman now saying something like that.
But yeah, like you said, those teeth, they're really great for adapting for a lot of different kinds of foods, from plants, animals, trash.
Yeah, trash, a lot of trash. Yeah. That's where I see them. The ones in our neighborhood like to have a little trash for lunch.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to have to take a little break here. We'll be back in about 2 minutes, okay?
Ted, you are really a pioneer. You were the first viral video in 2011.
Yes, that is true. But I have a problem since then. I was hoping you can help me with that, Scott.
What's that?
Well, I can't seem to find the right antibiotic to get rid of this viral video.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Two, one. Oh, no. Which button am I...
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear... Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
All right, we're back, and we're talking with James Anderson here on the show. This is On the Air, and we just had Fred Malone called in and reminded us that Fred's going to be on next Thursday at this time. He talks about all sorts of stuff, Marion historical stuff, but next week he said he's going to talk about the early presidential people. Now, we had a terrific guest on yesterday, Dr. Feynman. He's a regular guest on my Wednesday Progressive Life, and he talks, he is an expert in presidential life. He can tell you how many teeth Washington did have before he had them all pulled out. He's amazing about presidential history. I have a contact with MSNBC, she's a lovely lady, and I may contact her someday and say, why don't you get him on to talk about presidents? They have all sorts of experts on there, and Dr. Feynman is an expert. He's written a couple of books, and he teaches classes, and as a matter of fact, I had him on 2 weeks ago when Fred couldn't be on or something. Anyway, a few weeks back when I know what it was, when I had thought it was going to be your day and I was a week off. So I asked him to fill in, and he filled in right after. He came right from class and filled in for you. So, and it wasn't really filling in for you. It was filling in for my mental error. So anyway, let's hang on the turkey for a little while, and because he's got all sorts of show and tell stuff, but we can't show because we don't have television. But it's kind of cool. Now, have you ever cooked a turkey in one of those big, huge oil vats?
I have, yes.
Did it turn out?
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yes, I have.
I've had friends that have told me that it burned it to a cinder. I've had other friends that say it wasn't hot enough and they never could get it cooked. And then I've had one friend that spilled that stuff on himself and burned himself very badly.
Yeah, you definitely want to do it outside. That's the big thing, because if you do it in your garage, then you have a chance of a garage fire.
Yes. No, thank you. I don't want that. In my garage, if it started on fire, the whole block would go up. I have all three of my children's stored stuff, and none of my children have lived at that house. So we've got a lot of junk in there.
Oh, boy.
Okay. I forgot what I had several questions that my puppy dog and I thought about asking you, and now, of course, I can't remember them. The one we asked you, the one about the tracking. What happens on the Tallgrass Trail when you get heavy snow? Do you get people out there?
We'll get some people. We get some people who will wear like tracking shoes.
Yeah. What's a tracking shoe?
It almost looks like a tennis racket.
Oh, so it's like a snowshoe, but okay.
Yeah, and they'll put it on their feet, so it helps them. It helps distribute the weight, so you don't slip down as much.
Yeah.
But overall, I will admit the activity is definitely a lot less than it would be like right now.
So what do? Go home and sleep?
So what I do, I create programs now.
Oh, okay.
In the past, I used to go to nursing homes and after-school programs, but obviously with everything going on, I won't be doing much of that. But
and it's
going
to be even less next week.
Yes. So, but like during March and April when this all began, I did a lot of maintenance, cutting down a lot of the bush invasive honeysuckle. Cleared some spots, created more fishing spots along the trail. So some of my volunteers or just myself will probably be doing that.
Would you have to clear out that beaver dam?
Well, it's kind of funny. We did that.
Did you?
And then they left it alone for a good chunk of the summer, and then they clogged it back up. The beavers.
They
clogged it back up. They put mud in there. They put rocks on it.
They're going to show you.
Yes. So my board member, actually on Saturday when we had the dedication after it was done, he went and said, okay, well, I'm going to dredge it out, and I bet they would probably went back in to do their thing. So as the saying goes, they are busy. Busy as beaver.
Now, when you clear those out, does it, I'm sure it bothers the beaver,
yeah.
but I'm sure you don't hurt the beaver.
No, no. So all we do is when we dredge it out, they just don't like the sound of running water because two things, they like quieter water because it's easier to maneuver.
Mm-hmm.
And the second thing is it makes it deeper by damming it up. And then especially with winter coming along, the deeper your water is, the more room you have to store your food. Because okay. That's what they do. They store all their food at the bottom of the pond or lake or whatever, and then they dive under to grab their branch or whatever, and then they pull it up and put it through the lodge because they have a underwater entrance
okay.
to their lodge.
They store the food in the lodge or do they store it in the water?
They store it in the water, okay. And then their entrance is underwater.
Well, what do they eat that they can store in the water? Fish?
No, it's just woody branches.
Oh.
That's their primary diet. Oh. Yeah.
They don't eat fish?
No, they are strictly herbivores.
Oh, I'll be darned. I didn't know that. Oh. I thought they like, what's the animal that lays on its back and opens up the clam shell?
Oh, an otter?
Yeah, I thought they were like an otter. They would.
Well, it's funny. Otters have been known to eat beavers.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're carnivorous.
Don't tell me that. Yeah. I'm going to cry.
Like small beavers, not any big beavers.
Oh, well, that makes it a lot better. Baby beavers they eat.
Yeah.
James has a bad sense of humor.
It's a circle of life.
Yeah, it is the circle of life. That's one of the things that my wife and I don't watch on TV.
The circle, nature.
Yeah, the circle of life. If any animal's going to get eaten, we turn it off.
Yeah.
Oh, well. I know. We're we're a little strange that way. Okay, so you cleaned out the dam.
Yeah, yeah.
So that the water can flow?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so the water can flow. It doesn't cause the water levels to be really high.
Now, where does the water come from? I know where that dam is, and where does the water come from that goes into the lake?
So it'd be in the south east corner.
Yeah.
There's a little drench right there.
Yeah.
There's some.
Does it come from that little river that runs along there?
Yeah.
Okay. Huh. That's interesting. I love that river because every time, well, not every time, but several times when we walk by it, we get to see a blue heron standing out in the middle of the river. I think I've told you this before. I never realized we had blue heron this far north.
Oh, yeah.
But quite obviously we do.
Yep, they are our most common species of heron in the state of Ohio.
Is that right? Now, do we have egrets in Ohio?
Yeah. Now, they migrated right now. They're down south, but they're a summer resident.
Are they white?
Yes, they are primarily white. They're probably a tad smaller than the great blue heron.
Yeah.
Now, there are different species of egrets. There's great egrets. There's cattle egrets.
They look a little bit like a heron, though, don't they?
They do. Yeah. They have that same structure, very tall, lanky.
Yeah.
And then we have I call the fun size herons. So they're short. They're only about 2 feet tall. Versus, the great blue herons, they can get to 4 feet or taller.
So if you go to McDonald's, you get the fun size egrets.
That's right. the green herons and the capped night herons. We have a black capped and a yellow capped night herons.
I'll be darned. I didn't know we had so many.
Yeah.
Now, are we about the northern edge of their migration?
No, they'll go clear up to Lake Erie.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Now, are there a lot of, I would assume there are a lot of birds that go to Lake Erie.
Oh, yeah. A lot of warblers, a lot of different waterfowl species, gull species.
Now, we see, quite often, we see seagulls in this area. Now, are they, I assume they come down from the Lake Erie. Why would we have seagulls down here?
So gulls, they do migrate through Ohio, but when they see our parking lots, some scientists think the reflection resembles the water.
Okay.
But some species of gulls have just been known to just adapt because they know food is available, like McDonald's French fries.
Yeah.
People throwing out their trash.
Yeah. Well, and also we fertilize with fish carts.
Yeah. In some parts, yeah.
Yeah. And I imagine they kind of like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I got to keep my eye on the clock. I'm sorry. I forgot all about the clock. We got about 5 minutes, so. Anything that you've been thinking about that you wanted to talk about today other than the turkeys? We'll go with the turkeys in the next segment. Right.
It's funny about this warm snap we've had with the weather. It's just very unusual this time of year. because, you know, we usually were pretty cool.
We hit a record high, I believe.
Yeah, it was like in the 80s.
Yeah.
The reptile amphibian activity was definitely very, very abundant. as I mentioned, you know, a couple weeks ago, you know, the snakes are definitely now. I've seen a lot of turtles and frogs.
Now, you won't see any more of them, I wouldn't imagine.
They're starting to slowly decrease. Now, yeah. I did see a garter snake yesterday out on the trail, but I only saw one.
Yeah, the picture I saw on your Facebook page, that was a pretty good sized garter snake.
Oh yeah, yeah. They can get relatively long.
What went along with that story on Facebook?
So what it is, I have a YouTube channel for the Marion County Park District, and all I did is I took that video and I uploaded it on YouTube. It was only had a couple likes, a couple views, and for a couple days, and then some odd reason over Sunday night, yeah, it exploded, and I went from 8 views to over 50,000 views, and we went from 40 subscribers to over 100 subscribers. But what I come to find out, YouTube is trying to catch up what's called TikTok, which is another app. So YouTube is creating what's called YouTube Shorts, and if you have a video less than 60 seconds and a vertical picture, it has the chance to upload into this. And then right now it's not being tested in the United States, it's only in India. So when I looked at the demographics of that video, it was who liked it was middle-aged men from India.
Well, they got into a lot of snakes in India. Why would they want to look at our garter snake?
I don't know. But yeah, they're testing it out in India, and they're hoping that they'll able to test it into the United States. So again, it's just way YouTube's trying to catch up with some of the competing apps.
I bet that was kind of exciting though to get
was.
That.
I was just checking my phone, and I'm like, oh no, my YouTube said I have over 100 subscribers. So I was just tickled to have this 20-second video have over 50,000 views.
Now, are you going to adjust what you put on there? Because now you have Indian subscribers there.
Yeah, I would say I would probably do a lot more shorter videos, because some of mine range from 5 to 10 minutes, but I think I'll do some more of those short videos.
Yeah. Now, you're going to have to find out sources and subjects that people from India enjoy.
And actually, when I was on Facebook, I subscribed to a lot of the YouTube groups, and they said that in a lot of these Middle Eastern countries, they're very interested in reptiles, especially.
Oh.
So I'm.
They've got plenty of those too.
They do. But I think they're just very interested of the biodiversity of different snakes and different reptiles you can find across the world.
Yeah. They have big snakes, too.
They do, and very dangerous snakes.
Very.
They got cobras over
King
there.
King cobras, the biggie ones. Oh, we don't have those here, though, right?
No, Southern Florida they do, because they escape from people's houses, right, or people release them. But they're clear down there because it's very, you know, tropical climates in there. Now, they would not survive Ohio winters.
Now, do you get some up here in Ohio, some of the... people love, I don't know why, I love boa constrictors. And do you get them?
As of now, we have none, but I've heard in other parks they have found them.
They would only live during the summer, though.
Yeah, right? Yeah, but they wouldn't survive our winters.
Yeah, yeah. It's hard for me to survive our winters. Yeah. And it feels like it's going to be soon.
Yes.
It's kind of cold out there. So when it gets cold, what do you suggest people wear if they're going to come out and walk the trail?
So definitely layer up, sweatshirts, a jacket, a hat, a gloves.
Yeah.
Definitely, you know, some type of pants or something instead of shorts, and definitely proper footwear, boots, tennis shoes instead of flip-flops.
Yeah, you don't want to step on something that might go through a flip-flop. Okay, we're down to our last 10 seconds before I have a break, and we're talking with James Anderson, the naturalist from Marion County, and we're proud to have him on board. We'll talk to you in a minute.
Ted, I remember so well when you announced you were going to run for president on my show.
I do too. But after a while, I decided to get out of the race.
Why was that?
Well, I didn't want to move to a bad neighborhood.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
over 111, and I had a stroke.
I couldn't speak.
I'd walk.
150 over 90, and I had a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a stroke are far from silent. Get back on your treatment plan or talk with your doctor to create a plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed.
Brought to you by the American Stroke Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
All right, we're back here on the air. I'm Glenn Coble, and we have James Anderson, the naturalist for Marion County. And he's been talking about all sorts of things, but we're going to head over to the turkey stuff. Yes. Because we're only 2 weeks away from Thanksgiving.
Oh, yes.
And you brought in show and tell. Tell us about it.
I did. I brought in about a quarter of turkey. So yeah, I wanted to definitely...
But not the edible quarter.
No. I brought in a turkey fantail, some feathers, the beard, and the legs.
Now, I do understand that there are people that eat the legs and the beard. We have a call. Let's go and see what this person wants to ask us about. You're on the air. Hi. How can
we help you? It's me again. I have one question for James. I forgot to ask when I was on there before.
All right.
James, how large of an animal does a hawk normally try to pick up?
They can pick up like cottontail size, or cottontail rabbit size, or a little bit larger.
Oh, wow. 12 pounds?
I would say, now, like great horned owls, they can really take something probably about 10 pounds, 15 pounds.
Wow.
Okay, I kind of thought maybe, I know they, excuse me, I knew they could pick up rabbits because I've oftentimes found rabbits that I know have been picked up by a hawk and then brought.
Oh, yikes. Yeah.
So maybe 12 pounds limit, something like that?
I would say so. But for your smaller hawks, like sharp shins and what, definitely I would say about 8 pounds or less.
Okay. I said 12 pounds because that's what my dog weighs, and I'm scared to death. We have a hawk in our back.
And I tell you, that's what kind of brought it up for me today. I have a Cocker Spaniel, and she weighs about 25 pounds.
Yeah, she's pretty big.
I had her out in the backyard, and a hawk flew right over top of her, not more than 10 feet above her, and I think maybe it was kind of sizing her up.
Yeah. That looks good, but I don't think I got a bag big enough for that. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Hey, thanks a lot, Fred. Bye-bye. Again, Fred Malone that will be on next Thursday. Okay, that is interesting because I have my dog is about 12 pounds.
Yeah.
And I did have a hawk come flying around the corner of my house aiming for my doggy, and if I hadn't been out there, we may have lost the dog.
That I have heard a lot, especially with your smaller breeds.
Yeah, she's not very big. So go ahead. We're talking about turkeys. We got feathers, we got the beard, we got the feet, and we got the whatever that thing's called, the fantail.
Yeah. So wild turkey is our largest upland game bird here in the state of Ohio, in the United States. They can get up to about almost 30 pounds, but typically about 20 to 25 pounds.
My wife wouldn't let me do that because we never get a bigger than a 15-pound turkey.
Oh, okay. Now, I'm kind of talking about that with your domestic turkeys. They, of course, can get a lot larger than your wild turkeys. Now, they are just strictly in North America, so they are in the U.S., Canada, and even northern Mexico. There are six different what's called subspecies across the United States or North America. Now, the ones that you'll primarily find in the United States is the eastern wild turkey. There are even some in Hawaii, but those were introduced in Hawaii. Because Hawaii became a state, they wanted to see what would thrive there.
Yeah.
So turkeys, they're really, really interesting for a lot of different reasons. So they're actually one of the very few animals, by looking at some of its different body parts, we can tell of A, it could be a boy or girl, or B, it's an adult or juvenile. So I love this. The Wild Turkey Federation, they donated a whole bunch of these to us. So hunters across the state of Ohio legally harvested these turkeys. But like with the fantail, if it's a nice, tall, even like feathers, it's an adult. But if it's kind of mismatched and you got some feathers sticking up and some sticking down, just looks very messy.
So that must be an adult one.
This is an adult. Then the other one would be a juvenile. Now, its breast feathers, if you were to pluck it, if you were to kind of shine it, if it has kind of a black tip, it's a male. And if it has a cinnamon brown tip, it is a female.
Huh.
And then by looking at the legs, the males will have these long things called spurs. Mm-hmm. They use it to fight against other males. Females will not have spurs. They'll have this kind of look like a little bump, but what's also cool about the spurs is you can actually age them. If you measure them, every quarter increment represents an age. But you do have to kind of keep careful because they can break them off. So kind of like rattlesnakes with their rattles. So sometimes they can give you approximate age. Sometimes they can't.
I'm not one to go up and ask a rattlesnake how old he is.
No. Now, it was funny, we're talking about the beards. So yeah, the beards are actually, they're feathers. A lot of people think.
Oh, they are.
Yeah, a lot of people, if you look at it and you feel it, you think, oh, it's hair. But nope, all birds have feathers. No birds have hair. They're just specialized.
Ah.
Now, these are not on like the face like a human beard. They're actually on the chest.
Uh-huh.
And the purpose is to display for females, you know, physical fitness and also to other males. Hey, I'm big. I'm bad. You know, stay away from
me. We have a lot of humans that do that.
Yeah, yes, we do. Now, it is common to hear actually females to have beards in the turkey world. For a long time in the state of Ohio, the law was, especially for the spring turkey season, was only male turkeys. But the problem was people were accidentally shooting females with beards.
Oh.
And, you know, not on purpose. It's just, you know, they saw a beard. Oh, that's a male.
Yeah.
Well, then Ohio changed his law and then said a bearded turkey. So at least they allowed them.
Now, what is the skin that grows from the throat?
So that little thing underneath their throat, that is actually, it's called a wattle.
Oh, okay.
And then you'll notice on males, it looks like on top of their head, and it's really that long dangly
thing. Yeah, yeah.
That is called a snood. Now, kind of like the beard, the males are typically have them, females usually don't, and it's kind of the same function as the beard, too. It's usually to tell females, you know, physical fitness, or to tell other males, hey, stay away from me, I'm big, I'm bad, let's just, you know, this is my area.
If a human had that, they'd never get a date.
No, they wouldn't. And kind of speaking of the head, the males have that more traditional of that red, white, and blue head.
Oh,
and now, they
don't
have that usually during the springtime, during the mating season, because a lot of testosterone is coming along, because, again, he's trying to attract females. Mm-hmm. But the females have more of a dullish gray, blue head.
Okay.
So that's another way to tell male and female. Now, I brought a wing feather.
Yeah,
so this is
quite long.
Yeah, they are. Now, this is probably from the first or the third primary feather, and I can tell this is an adult or juvenile. So if the white bars go all the way to the end or the tip, it is an adult. But if it only stops halfway, it is a juvenile.
I'll be darned.
And probably the most coolest thing I love telling kids is you can tell boy and girl turkeys by their poop or their scat.
You're kidding.
So males make a J shape. So I represent J for Jake. Jake represents a young male turkey. And girls, and I know this sounds gross, but this is how my college professor told us, but it looks like an ice cream swirl. I know, now you probably won't eat ice cream. But yeah, again, one of the...
So that's what that emoji came from.
It must have. But yeah, they're one of the very few animals, just by looking at a scat, you can determine gender.
I would just say that turkey had problems. The one with the J.
But yeah, different names for the turkeys. There's Toms and Jakes and Gobblers. Toms and Gobblers are adult male turkeys. Jakes are young males. And then hens are just females. They only get one name.
Oh.
I know. I don't know. Now, a group of turkeys, there's a lot of interesting. There's a posse. There's a wattle. And there's one more. A raffle.
Huh.
So I guess take your pick, but I think I would be cool. A posse of turkeys.
I like posse. Yeah, yeah. That's kind of. I'm going to bring my posse with me.
But the superstition that turkeys fly, no, they really don't fly.
Oh, they don't.
Because they're such a heavy bird, they can glide.
Yeah.
So they basically can escape from danger, but because such a heavy bird, they drop down.
Well, I've seen them in like a zoo where they're up on a higher perch, and they kind of glide down. I thought they did. They were flying, but they were in a zoo, so you wouldn't want them to fly. They could take off.
Like versus like a Carnot or a hummingbird or what, you know, they're able to truly fly. Now, with the right wind conditions, they have observed turkeys gliding almost 2 football fields.
Oh, wow.
So
Yeah. Well, with that big a wing, the wing feather, you'd think they would at least get some lift.
Yeah, yeah. Now, pheasants and quail are kind of the same way. I know they're not heavy birds, but just basically how they're structured, is just they're just not designed to fly like our typical other birds.
Now, pheasants do, though, fly when hunters are out getting.
Yeah, but again, they do, again, more of that gliding. Okay. Now, again, it's just escape from danger. But they also too has to do with their muscles. So they have a lot of more of the dark meat, the dark muscles. So it means
running muscles.
Yeah, running muscles. Yeah. So it means they really can't keep oxygen very long. Like versus other birds, they have more lighter muscles. So that means they're able to fly, you know, longer periods of time.
Well, we only have a couple of minutes, but we have a call. So I'm gonna bring this caller in. If I can figure out where I am. There we are. Hi, you're on the air.
Okay, you guys are going to get sick of me calling this morning.
Well, you only got 2 minutes, so.
Okay, well, real quick, while you were still on the turkey, I wanted to give you a couple of quick history lessons.
All right.
The snood that you were talking about on top of the turkey's head, back in colonial days, that was what was called the little cap that women wore on the tops of their heads.
Really?
Huh. The snood, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and the other thing I wanted to mention was Benjamin Franklin wanted the turkey as our national bird rather than the eagle.
Yeah. James told me that before we got on the air.
Oh, okay.
And I was going to ask him why the turkey didn't make it. Do you know?
Well, I think he was basically outvoted.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah,
turkey's not as pretty.
He thought it was a very majestic bird, and of course it was prevalent around the time.
Yeah.
But I think the other members of the Continental Congress disagreed.
Yeah, well, they ate them, but they wouldn't name them.
Okay, I'm going to get out of here.
All right, thanks, Fred. Bye-bye. All right. Now, do you know why they decided not to have the turkey, or do you?
Yes, I do, but okay. I don't know we have enough time. Maybe
okay.
when we come back from our break.
When we come back from the break, we'll talk about that. We've got about 2 minutes. So, now... Is the group of feathers? I've always thought they had more color in them, but they're pretty much brown, aren't they?
Yes, yes. Now, with the other colors you're seeing is mainly around their chest, breast region, and with the sun iridescence, they get a lot of the greens and purples.
Yeah, I think I've seen them the iridescence showing up.
Yeah.
You see them bluish green.
Yeah.
Okay. So not like a peacock, but a little bit more colorful than that. Of course, that hasn't been a living thing for a while.
Yes. Now, while you're kind of talking about peacock, turkeys kind of do the same thing. They kind of display themselves to say, hey, you know, to defend territories.
Okay. I've got one more caller, and I've got about 1 minute. Hang on.
All right.
You're on the air. This is Glenn. How can we help you?
Yes, I've always been told that the reason that they didn't pick the turkey as the national bird was that it looked too much like a vulture.
Oh, my.
And they did not want us to be a bird of prey.
That's pretty interesting.
That's what I was told.
Well, James has got the whole story, and he told me it's too long to do it before the break. So keep listening, and he'll tell you after the break, okay?
Okay.
Thanks a lot for your input. All right, bye-bye. Hey, we got a smart crowd listens to us.
I'm glad they're listening.
Yeah, me too. Okay, well, we're down to the last minute. Where were we? I forgot.
Oh, so the diet of a turkey is mainly about 90% is plant material, but 10% is animal material, so insects.
Oh, insects.
Okay. And worms, but they actually will eat small snakes, small frogs.
Oh, well, they look like worms.
They do.
Not the frogs.
But yeah, a lot of people don't realize, they will eat small little snakes.
Okay. Well, we'll talk more about this, and we'll get the full story. As our caller gave us kind of a hint, we'll get the whole story after this break. We're going to take about 15 minutes here, and we'll be right back. We're talking with James Anderson. You're listening to On the Air. I'm Glenn Coble, and we hope you will come back and listen to the whole story of why the ugly turkey got beat out by the eagle for our national bird. And by the way, thanks for listening.
This is WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, your place for the latest